everybody, Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy brought to you every Friday night at this time. And although it doesn't seem that way, I've been gone for a while. All those Peter Cook shows were done at the same time, so I've been, like, on tape for a long time, and it feels good to be back here, pushing all these buttons and doing all this stuff again. Which also, by the way, explains why I have been fairly remiss in recommending various things on television to you, and some wonderful things in the world of comedy have occurred on television that I hope you were on your own. I hope you knew about them, like the SCTV marathon on Nickelodeon at night and a few other things. But I'll try to make up for that at the end of the show and tell you about some things that are coming up. But we'll leave that till then. Let's see, what else is there? This show and next week's show is about baseball. And silly me, I went and scheduled two shows on a sport-related subject at a time when anybody remotely interested in sports is going to be watching the Olympics. So... well, at any rate, most of this stuff I have played before in various baseball shows. This is to celebrate the fact that we're nearing postseason play, which is always very exciting. And it looks to be very exciting for us here because the Dodgers look like they're going to be in it. I don't think anybody holds out much hope for the Dodgers in the playoffs against the Mets, but you never know. You never know. And I'll be playing some things that are Dodger-related and baseball-related over this week and next week. But you can't do a baseball show, and I've never done a baseball show, without featuring this most classic of baseball classic pieces, Bud Abbott and Lou Costello. By the way, there will be some new stuff in this show that I've never played before. We're going to hear a piece. Well, I'll leave it until we hear it. So let's start off with Abbott and Costello.
Well, let's see. There's on the bags. We have who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third.
That's the same thing you gave me in 1938. I'm still trying to find out.
It's the same name.
All right. Now, who's on first?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The first baseman.
Who?
The guy playing first.
Who is on first?
Why do you keep asking me?
I'm not asking you. I'm telling you.
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's right.
Go ahead and tell me.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first baseman.
That's the man's name.
Now, look. When you pay off the first baseman every month, who gets the money?
Every dollar of it. And why not? After all, the man's entitled to it.
Who's entitled to it?
Certainly.
Who gets the money?
Every dollar. Sometimes his wife comes down and collects it.
Whose wife?
Yes. No. I've got a contract with him now.
You got a contract with who?
Yeah, absolutely. Be no good unless he signed it.
Unless who signed it?
Yes.
Somebody has got to sign the contract. Now, who signed it?
That's right.
All I'm trying to find out is what's the guy's name on first base?
Oh, no, wait a minute. What is on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
One base at a time. I'm only asking you, what's the fellow's name on first base?
But I'm telling you, what's the fellow's name on second base?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who is on first?
I don't know.
He's on third. We're not talking.
How did I get on third base?
You mentioned his name.
If I mentioned a third baseman's name, who did I say is playing third?
No, who's playing first?
Stay off of first, will you? Now, what's the fellow's name on third base?
What's on second?
Who's on second?
Who's on first?
I don't know.
He's on third.
And I go back on third again.
Well, I can't change their name.
Well, but you and I stay on third base and don't go off.
Now, what is it you want to
do? Now, who is playing third base?
Now, why do you insist on putting who on third base?
Who am I putting on third base?
Yes, but we don't want him there.
You don't want who there?
No.
What's the fellow's name belongs to?
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
Have you got an outfield?
Well, certainly.
Tell that fielder's name.
Why?
I don't know. I just thought I'd ask you.
I just thought I'd tell you.
Then tell me who's playing left field.
Who is playing first?
Stay out of the infield!
Well, don't mention the names out of
here. I want to know what's the left fielder's name.
No, what's on second?
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know.
Third base.
And the left fielder's name?
Why?
Because.
Oh, he's center field. As well as I do.
Have you got a pitcher on a team?
Wouldn't this be a fine team without a pitcher?
The pitcher's name?
Tomorrow.
You don't want to tell me today?
I'm telling you, man.
Go ahead.
Tomorrow.
What time?
What time what?
What time tomorrow are you going to tell me who's pitching?
Now listen. Who is not pitching?
I'll break your arm, you say, who's on first.
Go ahead,
I want to know what's the pitcher's name.
What's on second?
I don't know.
Third base.
Have you got a pitcher?
Sure.
The
catcher's name?
Today.
Today. And tomorrow's pitching.
Now you've got it.
That's all. We got a couple of days on it.
Well, I can't help that.
You know, I'm a catcher, too.
So they don't.
Now, I'll get behind the plate. I'll do some fancy catching. Tomorrow's pitching on my team, and the heavy hitter gets up.
So?
Home run Collins.
Yes.
Now, he gets up, see? I'm catching, and tomorrow's pitching on my team. Now, tomorrow throws the ball, and Collins bunts the ball. Now, when Collins bunts the ball, me being a good catcher, I want to throw Collins out of first base, so I pick up the ball and throw it to who?
Now, that's the first thing you've said right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
Well, that's all you have to do.
I throw the ball to first base.
Yes.
Now, who's got it?
Naturally.
If I throw the ball to first base, somebody's got to get it. Now, who has it?
Naturally.
Who has it?
Naturally.
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 That's all there is to it.
Okay, I pick up the ball and I throw it to naturally.
I know you don't. Just a minute. Wait a minute. You throw the ball to first base. Then who gets it?
Naturally.
Well, that's all there is to it.
So I throw the ball to naturally.
You don't. You throw the ball to first base.
Then who gets it?
Naturally.
That's what I'm saying.
That.
I throw the ball to first base. Who has it?
Naturally.
Now ask me.
You throw the ball to first base, then who gets it?
Naturally.
Well, say that.
Same as you. I throw the ball to first base. Who has it?
Naturally.
He better have it.
All right.
Well, I throw the ball to naturally. Whoever it is drops the ball, Collins runs a second. Who picks up the ball and throws it to what? What throws it to, I don't know. I don't know, throws it back to tomorrow? Triple play.
Yes.
Another guy gets up. The Bloomer girl, Kate Smith.
Yes.
It's a long fly ball to be caught. Why? I don't know. He's on third, and I don't give a darn.
Yes.
I said, I don't give a darn.
Oh, that's our shortstop.
I got thinking about baseball and how games are marketed today. You know, you go to a game manufacturer and they figure everything out and decide whether the game is right for the public or not, and then they market it. And it got me to thinking, supposing Abner Doubleday had called one of the game manufacturers with this new invention of his called baseball. Now, I think a phone conversation would have taken place something like this. Hello, Olympic Games. What can I do for you, Mr. Doubleday? You've got a game. How many couples? 18 people? That's a lot of people. Well, the ideal game is, two, three couples, come over to the house, they get a little smashed, and, you can't play it in the house either. I see you got two things right there against you. All right. Tell me about it. All right, you got nine guys on each side.
Yeah.
And you got a pitcher and a catcher. And they throw this ball back and forth. And that's all there is to it. All right. A guy from the other side stands between them with a bat. I see. And he just watches them. Oh, I see. He swings at it. He may or he may not swing at it. Depending on what? If it looked like it were a ball. What's a ball, Mr. Doubleday? You've got this plate.
Uh-huh.
And as long as it's above the knees, but below the shoulders... Yeah. No, go ahead. I'm listening. Yeah. It's a strike. Three strikes and you're out. And three balls. Not three balls. Four balls. Why four balls, Mr. Double? Nobody's ever asked you before. Or he may hit it. If he hits it, what happens? He runs as far as he can. Before somebody catches it. As long as it stays what? As long as it stays fair. And what's fair, Mr. Doubleday? You've got these two white lines? Is this a rib? Is this one of the guys in the office? Who is it? Mr. Double A, that's the most complicated game I've ever heard in my life. Forget it. Right. Mr. Double A, listen, though. You come up with anything, two, three couple, you'll be sure and let us know, huh? All right, Mr. Double A, I'll be talking. Bye.
My name is Abner. I'm a baseball. On top, I got horsehide and stitches, and inside, I got all kinds of string and a cork center, and they're supposed to make us livelier in the past few years so they could knock more home runs with us.
And there she goes!
This we could do without, you know. They say years ago when they had pitchers battles, so-called, you'd go through 5-6 innings and the only wear and tear on you was the tobacco stains from the pitcher's fingers. Today they use something like 100 of us poor balls during a single ball game. They cloud us. They bang us around. Oh, it's brutal. Of course, I'm out of the profession now. I'm one of the lucky ones. I still got all my stitches. I was hit over the fence, sure, but I wasn't pocketed by one of those excited kids and poked around in the sand lots 4 or 5 years till you get punchy. Oh, how I pity those pals of mine. They got it worse off than golf balls. A golf ball, they clout you in the rough, they can't find you. Half the time, they don't want to find you. Well, I got a very special story, and it all started one bright, sunny day at the Yankee Stadium during the last of a crucial 4-game series between the Cleveland Indians and the New York Yankees. I've been in the ball sack for 3 days waiting my turn. It was mighty dark in there, and it was some 50-odd balls, every one of us trying to shove our way to the bottom and wait out the Washington Senators who was coming into town tomorrow. It was the last half of the ninth with the Indians ahead 6-3 and Yogi Berra up for the Yanks. I felt a horny hand grip my stitches. I bid a hasty goodbye to my pals, and the next thing you know, it was pitch black and some sharp object was digging into the L in American League. It was then I realized I was in the ump's back pocket and his garage key was playing havoc with my horsehide. I peeked through the blue serge seat of his trousers, which was wearing mighty thin, and noticed a crowd of 50,000 eager beavers all screaming for Yogi to bang the brains out of my erstwhile friend and companion, Sal the Ball. You should have heard the things they were yelling about poor Sal.
Give it a ride, you dirty! Blast it out of the park! Tear the cover off of that ball!
Can you imagine someone tearing your skin off? Think it over, folks. Well, the next thing I heard was...
Strike!
Attaboy, Lefty! One thing, when you're a baseball, you root for both pitchers. Then it happened. The pitcher wound up...
There it goes! Over the wall! Yogi boy! Yogi boy! Yogi boy!
I couldn't see what was going on, but I had a queer feeling Sal was not long for this ballpark. And neither was I. A few seconds later, I felt the broiling hot sun on my tender horsehide and listened to the catcher and the pitcher talk it over.
Too bad, Lefty.
Well, he was due. How are we gonna work this next guy?
Burn it right in there.
Okay.
The catcher was thumping me into that greasy glove and rubbing me up so terrible, I thought he might have made a nick in me already and they'd throw me out of the game. But no such luck. They started to whip me around the infield, as they usually do with a new ball. They call it a little pepper.
Little pepper in there, boy!
Ow!
Little pepper in there, boy!
Ow! Hey, little pepper in there, boy! Ow! This can be a frightening experience, especially when the third baseman's only 2-3 feet away from the shortstop.
Little pepper in there, boy!
At last, they were giving me back to the pitcher.
Put a little dirt on it for you, Lefty.
Uh-oh. Ooh. Ooh. Ever brush your teeth with dry sand?
Play ball!
Well, this was it. First, I heard some encouraging talk.
He can't hit you, Lefty boy. Burn it past him, Lefty. He cannot smell you, Lefty boy.
And then some terrifying statements all the way from the bleachers.
Give it a ride, you dirty! Blast it out of the park! Tear the cover off of that ball!
Oh, that last guy, I'll bet he's the life of the party. Well, Here's the wind-up. This ain't no joke, neither. Here I go.
Strike!
Well, that's one of them.
Why, you robber?
Uh-oh, a rhubarb.
Watch your language, you'll go out, out, out.
You got a bet on the game?
Shut up, you'll go out, out, out. Why, you gutless, that does it. Out, out, out. Why, you double-crossing bottom of the deck stumble. Now, now, now.
While all this was going on, I thought I'd grab a little nap. But the third baseman came in and took me from the catcher so he could hit the umpire better, and before you know it...
Little pepper in that boy!
Ow!
Little pepper in that boy!
Ow! Let's pepper it up in here, lefty boy! Ow! Soon everybody got down to business once again.
Tear the cover off of that ball!
Sometimes I think it's better to get hit over the wall. One hard shot and it's all over. It's those singles and doubles and line drive outs will send you out of your mind. You stay in there, they keep getting them bingles off you. The other way, one good smash and that's it. It's like a fighter. He gets knocked out, sometimes he's better off than staying in there and taking it 15 rounds. You know what I mean? Uh-oh, here we go again.
Ow! Look out!
Some joke, I hit the announcer's booth. Everybody's laughing. What a scream, huh? Okay, back in play. Strike two. One more to go. The wind-up and...
Strike three! Little pepper in there, boy!
Ow!
Little life in there, boy!
Ow!
Little pepper in that old man!
Ow! You can't win. Well, the next two batters walked and the pitcher was coming up, and I felt mighty relieved. One more out to go and it'd be all over. Pop up, pop up, pop up, I kept saying over and over to myself. The pitcher pops up, the pitcher pops up. Wait a minute. Last half of the ninth, two out. What pitcher? Then I heard the announcement over the loudspeaker.
Number 7, Mantle, coming up to bat for Hanatan.
My cork heart sunk to the inside of my twine. Mickey Mantle. Oh, what a clout this guy could give me. I started to imagine all kinds of crazy things as I seen him emerge from the dugout swinging 5 or 6 bats. Maybe he just gets hold of a piece of me and twists me permanently out of shape. Maybe he fouls me off about 45 times and I lose my marbles for good. Maybe he sends me on a line drive into the corner of a hot dog griddle. Oh, I was going nuts thinking the most horrible and grisly thoughts. They were brought to a quick stop by the usual guys.
Wallop it out of the park, Mickey boy! Murder the ball, Mickey boy! Tear the stitches out of it and send it to Weehawken!
Oh, how I hated that guy. Then come that old feeling, that crazy pitcher's wind-up. Ow!
Ball!
What a relief. They didn't even pep me around this time. With Mickey up, they were afraid he'd steal first. The catcher waved time out. He came towards the rubber.
Keep it high and a little outside. Let him hit it. The bleachers are 450 feet away.
Let him hit it? Let him hit it? Well, maybe he's right. A long fly ball, I'll be caught, then I can get a good night's rest. Okay, catcher, I'm with you. The pitcher took a short wind-up and let me go, high and outside. But Mickey stepped into me and let me have it. I felt myself sailing through the air as though I'd just been released from a rocket gun. Up, up, up I soared, and the crowd roared and roared and roared. The higher I went, the more they roared. I saw the bleachers way, way down below, like from a flying saucer. I was flying over the bleachers.
That's tearing the cover off of it, Mickey boy!
5 minutes later, I bounced on the pavement and into a sand lot. About 7, 8 kids chased me. A little fella, about 9 or 10, scooped me up and ran away with me. But he didn't go to the subway, and he didn't go home. He was headed back to the ballpark. It occurred to me I wouldn't be sacrificed to the sandlotters after all. The boy had a soul. He was taking me in to be autographed by the guy who pouted me. In the locker room, a man gave the kid $50 and a new ball for me, and everybody was all excited like I was an heirloom or something. Even Casey Stengel kissed me. Suddenly, I realized what it was all about. Mickey had hit me for the world's longest home run. The next day, I was shipped to Cooperstown and took my place with all the other famous baseballs in history. And that's where I am today, flanked by as nice a bunch of baseballs as you guys would ever want to see. Balls hit by the Babe, Lou Gehrig, Frankie Frisch, Ty Cobb and Ted Williams, Hank Greenberg, Joe DiMaggio, Willie Mays, and Tris Speaker. Boy, I'm in real solid company. They can't tear me apart in here. Some of the other balls are pretty badly beaten up, or maybe that's just the way they made them in those days. I shouldn't really complain, but you know, where Mickey signed me, it still hurts.
That was the great Eddie Lawrence with his piece called Abner the Baseball. Play it every year, but it's great every year. Now from the sublime... Oh, also, in the middle there was Bob Newhart. Going from the sublime to the ridiculous, here is the strangest baseball-related item I've come up with in many, many years. Recently, Burger King had a deal where you could come in and buy the right kind of burger, and you would get an Alf puppet, a puppet of Alf from the television show, and depending upon which one you got a little flexi disc, a little record. It isn't even a flexi, it's like a cardboard record. And it will sound like a cardboard record, believe me. But here is, here's Alf. Alf is one of my guilty pleasures, I have to admit. I actually do enjoy watching Alf, but don't tell anybody, okay? Because it's not hip. I could get banned from KCRW if they knew I did something that unhip. But at any rate, this is pretty unhip too. I'm about to play Alf on the air, so here we go. Take Alf, take me Alf to the ball game.
The score was 6.5-0 on the Booyah baseball field that day. The Litwack Chowders were winning, and the sky was a greenish-gray. But when they saw me coming, all of Melmac yelled, "Hooray! Get rid of the room!" They knew their luck was changing. It was Alfer's turn to play. Did I crack under pressure? Did I buckle under his knuckler? Not Gordon Shumway. I turned to the roaring crowd and I said, "Take me, Alf, to the ball game. Now it's my turn to bat. It's my favorite of all games, and I'll knock this scutminder flat. Lop a couple of fish heads and I'll send them into the clouds. Take me, Alf, to the ball game. I love the roar of the crowds." The Chowders all were terrified. The thrower was a wreck. He winds it up and lets it fly. And it hits me in the neck. Yikes!
Strike one!
Strike! He beamed me with a trout ball. Where'd you win your umpire license? In a lottery? Melmac's honor was at stake. I looked out to the mound. But this one hits me in the leg, and it knocks me to the ground.
Strike two!
Strike!
Yes, strike, it struck you, didn't it?
I gripped the bat and braced myself for the third and final swing. And just to throw the thrower off, I took time out to sing. Lob a couple of fish heads, and I'll send them into the clouds. Take me out to the ball game, 'cause I love the roar of the crowds. The crowd was going crazy, screaming out my name.
Hey, Shumway, take a shower.
The thrower lobbed a wicked curve. It whistled as it came. I met it straight and steady. I connected with a crack.
It's out of here.
It took off like a rocket, and it's never coming back. Take me out to the ball game. Hear the crack of my bat. It's my favorite of all games. I knocked that sucker flat. I'm a Booyah baseball hero, 'cause I sent it into the clouds. Take me out to the ball game, 'cause I love the roar of the, just adore all the, love the roar of the crowds. Hey, not bad for a 230-year-old rookie, huh?
Oh, well, there you go. You know, where else are you going to hear these things, right? Okay, I've reserved the last couple minutes of the program to tell you about some things that are coming up on television in the world of comedy that you don't want to miss. Get a pencil. I'll fumfer here for a second while you get a pencil, because there's a lot of it. It's actually a really good week for television, for at least for comedy on television. Even if you don't find the Olympics all that funny. All right, that's enough time. Got your pencil? Everybody ready? Okay, SCTV and reruns of Saturday Night Live are on Nickelodeon every night. Check your TV guide for that. They look awfully good now. It's amazing. Both series look awful. I've seen a couple of them, and they really hold up. Frank's Place is still rerunning on Saturday nights. I hope you got to see the episode called The Bridge that won the Emmy. I think the finest television episode that I've seen in 5-10 years. Oh, just, it's fabulous. There's a new show called The Boys, which is running on Showtime. It was written and produced by Alan Zweibel, who's one of the guys behind the Gary Shandling show, in addition to being one of the guys behind the original Saturday Night Live. And that's very funny. It's very funny. I've only seen the first one, and that may be all that has aired, but it's very good. Classic comedies, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart, and Dick Van Dyke every night on Channel 56, even though Pat Boone owns that station. You know, you got to give him points for that. Tuesday night at 10 p.m. on Channel 28, John Cleese is a one-hour interview. I've seen it. It's very good. I don't think it's quite as good as the one we did with him, but it's very good. And there are some tantalizingly short clips from some things that you'd like to see longer. There's a bit from the At Last the 1948 show in that interview. And it's a good interview. Let's see. And if you have heard a show on this station, a drama series called Honest, Decent, and Truthful, which I haven't seen, but I hear is very funny, there is a television adaptation that was made for British television, which is airing on the Arts and Entertainment Network, noon on Wednesday and 7 a.m. on Thursday. So set your VCR to that. That's noon Wednesday or 7 a.m. on Thursday. And Dudley Moore is hosting a special called having something to do with comedy clubs. It's got Emo Phillips and Judy Tenuta and all sorts of comedians that I've never heard of, and I'm sure they've picked only really good ones, aren't you? But saving the best for last is Yes, Prime Minister. I hope by now you've seen the series called Yes, Minister, the English series. I've reminded you enough to see it, and you certainly should have seen it. And Arts and Entertainment has been running the series Yes, Prime Minister, totally chopped up to pieces so that it's totally unrecognizable. Finally, Channel 28 has been showing them. I didn't get a chance to warn you about this or alert you to it. Last week, they have 8 of the 10 that were made, and they're showing them. They started last Monday through Thursday night at 11:30 at night, and so the latter 4 will be airing this week, Monday through Thursday, but they're starting the 8 Monday through like 2:30 in the afternoon. So get your VCRs ready and tape those and watch them, because they're marvelous. They're absolutely marvelous. Great political satire from England. Let's see. I guess time to crank up the music and get ready to get out of here. What else is there to tell you? I've not been getting much mail from you. Let me hear from you. My name is Bob Claster, Claster. The address is Funny Stuff, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. I am often accused of saying that too quickly, which is true because I'm always in a hurry to get out of here. But I'll do it again more slowly. Bob Claster, Claster, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. Next week, more baseball stuff, featuring Danny Kaye and the actual Dodgers singing New York, New York, which we will need to hear going into this. I don't know, I'm dreading it, the playoffs. What else? All sorts of baseball things, some of which, as you can tell from my indecisiveness, as you can tell, I haven't decided on some of this stuff yet, but I've been too busy going through the TV guide for you, right? Okay, so that's it until next week. This is your host, Bob Claster, thanking you for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised, because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great weekend, everybody. Bye-bye.